back to your first pass to the magic. I'm Gary, and today we're here again with Tom and Jenny. Hi, guys.
Hiya.
Hello.
How are you doing this week?
Not too bad. Busy yeah. Weekend.
Enjoying the bank holiday.
Yeah, it's the bank holiday here in the UK.
Two in a row.
Yeah, we've got two in a row. So we got this week off, which is the usual bank holiday, and a special one next weekend for the King's coronation, which by the time you hear it, it'll probably be this weekend. So hope you're enjoying it, hope you're having fun. But yeah, I've had a... before we get into anything, I had a bit of a rough week. I mean, I'm going to get into my personal life. I had a bit of a flare-up on my face, and honestly, it you're probably looking at me now, Tom, and seeming like it looks like you've been punched in the eye. I've been speaking to a doctor, and I have made an appointment, and I can't get through. The doctors here are terrible. But it seems to me, from my limited medical research, that I've come up with a thing called rosacea, and my face is just red, and my eye has just blown up ridiculously. So yeah, not a brilliant week for me, but we move on. And we've got a lot to look forward to. So hopefully your week's been a little bit better than mine. I know you said you was out last night for a stag party, wasn't you, Tom?
Yeah, 14-hour day. So that was interesting. Football, but football, and yeah, my body is feeling us. It today.
I've never done that before. Yeah, it just looks fun.
It's great fun, but you suddenly realise just how unfit you really are when you're just running straight into people trying to knock them down.
Oh, no, I know how unfit I am, so that's fine. But anyway, moving on from that, in today's episode, we are going to be taking a look back at Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, and just talking over things that we enjoyed, things that we didn't enjoy, and just everything that they included or tried to include within the celebrations. Again, I never got to go during the celebrations, so I can only go on what I've seen online. But these lucky two here did manage to get out there during the 50th, so they'll have a lot more to say than I will on that. But before we get into that completely, I do have a few things to drop over. First, did you want to take over for a little bit, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of worked in quite nicely as well, sort of talking about the 50th of Walt Disney World, and then, you know, the big film for Disney 100 with the Wish trailer dropping this week. I don't know if, you know, these guys said you'd seen the trailer. There's a lot of nice little Easter eggs in there, I think, for, you know, going back the 100 years of Disney. You know, all the different styles. It seems like we've finally got a classic Disney villain back. I think, what was the last time we had a proper villain? Was like Tangled, maybe? But I don't know if you've seen this. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So there's a bit in the trailer where it looks like there's... I can't remember the main character's name now, but it looks like there's all her friends and a mom like waving at her, and all her friends seem to represent the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, no, I didn't spot that.
Wholesome.
I am looking forward to seeing it, though, because the animation looks different on this one.
It's almost in between 3D and 2D.
Yeah, like it's really strange. Like you can see the 3D CGI animation, but some parts look hand drawn. I'm not too sure. Like I'm gonna have to see it to kind of see how I feel about that. But at the moment, I'm not sure. It's strange.
One of the things I did like about the trailer is the variety of movies they picked out to do from the studio that bought you. Because quite recently, we only ever see like Frozen or Moana or whatever the most popular one is. And they went back to like Cinderella and some of the other in-between ones, and that was quite sweet.
I think, again, that was sort of playing on that 100 years of Disney thing again, isn't it?
And oh, yeah.
All the text is sort of very reminiscent of... It's got that Fantasia look to it.
Yeah.
And when does that come out again?
So it's nice to see all the little nods. November, I want to say.
November. Okay. There's still a little while yet.
Sounds about right.
Mm. And is that out at cinemas?
Is the Wishing Well? Yeah.
Okay. I know a lot of things are straight to Disney Plus recently.
Oh no, I think we'll be trying to milk that one for all it's worth. Which, you know, fair enough.
And I know we only spoke the other day, but is there any news that's popped up recently?
So just going... Oh, yeah, so release date 24th of November, UK.
Okay.
We touched on the whole legal proceedings of DeSantis versus Disney last week, and that does seem like it is now going ahead. Disney seems to have started filing suit, so it's going to be an interesting ride.
Well, I'm looking forward to how that pans out, and I feel like, I don't know, I haven't really looked too much into it, but the government or whoever's doing the whole thing, DeSantis, whatever, they can't really have much to stand on. From what I've seen, at least. It all seems very, very strange.
It doesn't seem like... It seems a bit of a power play. And it's an interesting one as well. So I double checked as well after last week, after the confusion. He is the governor of Florida.
Okay.
And it does seem like he's in relatively high favour to be running against Trump for the presidency nomination next year.
Oh, great.
So,
I'm not going to get into the politics here, but...
On a slightly lighter news note, Disneyland California saw an addition to their Main Street windows, and they've done a new glass window dedicated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is just very sweet.
Oh, nice.
I did see that. I saw the video of that where there was making the windows, and that looks so cool. I'd love to be able to watch someone do that like live. They had a window where you could just peer in and watch people at work doing things like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been a while since we've seen a new kind of Main Street window, and it's a very nice one to have.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, let's head into the main segment of the show, and let's talk about the 50th. And again, parts that we enjoyed, parts that we didn't, and things that happened. Pretty much doing an overview of was it a year and a half?
Roughly.
18 months,
around
yeah.
A year and a half. Again, I never got to go, so if one of you guys want to start us off with a certain segment or anything, that'd be great.
I think it's sort of worth mentioning as well, like, how long it has gone on for. I think we sort of forget what they started the celebrations or what situation they started the celebrations under. So it was still very much a COVID high time. I think when the celebrations started, it was still a lot of restrictions on who could go into the parks, the distancing, everyone was still masked at that point. So, you know, fair play, like, they kept it. They didn't cancel. They didn't postpone. They kept going through that time. It seems weird to think like how far back that now seems. But yeah, it's a very interesting time to start that celebration.
And speaking of that as well, makes you wonder if, because it all started like that, if any plans for any celebrations or anything got cancelled or changed. or if we missed out on something that was actually meant to be there for the 50th.
And I think they kept a lot of stuff under wraps because I imagine if anything was scrapped, they wouldn't have necessarily wanted it publicized. So, like, there were no real rumblings beforehand of what we were going to expect, other than, like, people hoping Paint the Night would end up on the other coast.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I remember when it all started, or before it all started even, was that they was already refurbing the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the only thing that we knew, is that that was changing just a little bit, but not too much. And we have kept that castle for now, at least.
Yeah, I think the only changes they seem to have made so far are obviously the medallions come down and they've reverted back to the old pennants and taken the ones that were on the castle off. Whether or not we'll keep this paint job, and I quite like the golden spirals on the towers. So I'd like to see them stay.
Not going to lie, I am a big fan of the previous grey castle. Like, the new pink does look really good. But I don't know, it's hard to separate yourself from something that you've known for so long.
But I also think if they keep the pink, it makes it feel less special than if they go back, then it's like, yeah, oh, that was the castle we had for the 50th.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Yeah, I get that.
It's I actually find it hard to imagine. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, it's kind of like if they kept the birthday cake after the 25th.
I find it hard to imagine what it used to actually look like now. Like, I'm so used to seeing the sort of bluer, pinker castle. Like, going back and looking at old pictures where it was white, I'm like, oh yeah.
I think if they did go back to the previous colours with a fresh set of paint and things like that, it would look a lot better, because you look at old pictures of it now, and it did look a bit dull and washed out. But I feel with a brighten up, going back to those old colours, it would look a heck of a lot better. And speaking of colour, we kind of got the iridescent theme for the 50th. From that, and that kind of spread everywhere.
Yeah. Looking back at like photo pass pictures, I'm like, oh, they've given an iridescent filter to that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from merchandise, you had your spirit jerseys, you had food, you had cupcakes, you had drinks, all with shimmering.
I think iridescent. If Disney had a word of the year, it would be iridescent.
And I mean, it is cool that they kind of spread that around the entire Walt Disney World property and made it work.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But I feel like there were some things that kind of didn't need that.
I'm sure I had churro nuggets at one point which had an iridescent sprinkle on them. And...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you kind of think, well, really?
I mean, there was... I get there was the pun in there with the ear iridescent. And I think that once that got brought up, it was like, yep, that's us. That's our 50th sorted. We're sold.
You know that. You know whichever intern came up with that got a raise.
I should hope so, with the amount of merchandise and things that they sold from there.
That in turn is now Bob Iger.
That's how he got his job back.
I think the Mickey and Minnie costumes were great. Like,
they were gorgeous.
And I never actually ended up meeting them in those costumes. But yeah, I think, like you say, it's just that expansion of the theme across everything. It did sort of have that little glow to it.
Mm-hmm. No, they did look really cool. They do look really good. And speaking of videos of them doing the Main Street windows, did you see the video of the guy that designs the costumes for the characters recently?
Yeah.
That looks cool. Like, the video that was shown, I wasn't too sure on Minnie's costume. It looked a bit strange to me. I have to find a post for you guys, but...
Is that the Wish Day costumes?
I'm not too sure. Let me just have a quick check.
But yeah, while we're talking about Mickey and Minnie's costumes, on our first day of that trip, we met Mickey on Main Street in the, like, in his 50th suit, and it just felt very special.
See, I'm quite sad that I haven't been in so long, and I feel like they've had so many costume changes since I was last there.
I think it was harder to meet Minnie in her 50th outfit. I know she was doing, like, waving from the train station, but I don't think I ever met her wearing it.
Were they not meeting together in Town Square Theatre?
Just Mickey.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think on random days she appeared, but for the most part, he was by himself.
And was he still talking?
I think
he's
the talking outfit
again
is...
now he's back with his magician.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think his magician outfit is the only one he can talk in.
I mean, it's magic, so it makes sense.
I'm probably not gonna be able to find this right now, so I'll have to take a look a little bit later on. I'll spend the whole show looking for a video.
Although the thing I have just remembered about the outfits is because all of, like, the classic characters got a 50th outfit, Donald didn't have a hat in his, and every time I saw him in it, I was like, you'd look bald. Someone give that man a hat.
Trousers, he can go without, but a hat is where we draw the line.
Yeah, apparently so.
Did you ever see any of the light-up shows when you were there? So, Spaceship Earth, Tree of Life, Hollywood Tower?
I think I only saw Spaceship Earth. We were staying for Tree of Life, and then it got stormed off. And I saw Tower lit up, but I can't remember if it was for the iridescent stuff or just 'cause.
Yeah, so I tried to see Tree of Life, but I had ongoing things I needed to sort out before the storm was coming, so I ended up missing that. But then the last day I was there, I was just about to leave Epcot, and then I saw all the people at the entrance, like, waiting to film. I was like, oh, I forgot that was coming on, so I stayed, like, the extra 20 minutes or so, and I'm glad I did, because it looked so great.
Although I think it says a lot about the 50th celebrations that you could forget that bits of them were happening.
Wow, yeah. I think Disney forgot it was happening for the most part.
I feel like it's one of those things that you have to see in person to be able to get the full experience of it. Mm-hmm. Because again, I haven't managed to be there to see these things, and everyone just raves about it, but online, when you're watching a video of some lights dancing to music on Spaceship Earth, you don't get the same effect as you do when you're there in person. If it's different, like,
about the ambience of it.
Yeah, and the different ones, like with Hollywood Studios with a projection show on Tower, or again with Animal Kingdom, they're a little bit different because they've got a bit more visual things to go by, whereas the lights on Spaceship Earth were just that. It was just lights. And, I mean, they do kind of make images of such at certain points. But Yeah, I feel like it's definitely one of those things that you have to see in person, and I'm glad that they're keeping it on, so that when I get out there, I can actually see some form of the show out there, because they have just announced that they're redoing the show, haven't they, or making a new show for it.
There's new stuff. I've seen like little pictures, but I don't know what the overall theme is.
But again, though, does that take away from this light show being installed for the 50th? Again, it's a similar kind of thing with the castle colours. It feels like if it was there for the 50th and they keep it, was it really a 50th installation?
I guess it could. They could say it's sort of been done because of the 50th, and it's sort of a continuation from doing that, but rather than necessarily just being part of that year, you know, like we'll get into some of the things that opened, you know, in terms of rides and restaurants later. You know, they opened for the 50th, but it's not like they're now gonna shut down Guardians.
But it's kind of like with the shows that were introduced, the fireworks shows at the parks. I forget the name because I never really pay attention to it. Was it Enchantment?
Yeah.
That kind of was there just for the 50th. But
that was bad.
I never watched it. Again, I'm so bad at this. I need to start getting on top of things, and for the podcast especially, so when things are released, I can actually talk about these things, because I was holding off on watching that online so I could see it in person, and now it's gone. So I guess I can watch it now online so I can get an idea of what it was.
Let's just say I'm very happy they're bringing back Happily Ever After. Oh, well, bringing back. It's already back.
Yes, it is already back. Yeah, with a few alterations, but just as good as ever. I'm still waiting for them to bring Wishes back, though, so I'm a big Wishes fan.
I think you might be holding on to that wish for a while.
Oh, never say never. They did. They did bring a segment of Wishes back for, was it a cast event a while back?
Yeah.
I wish I could have been there so bad. I would have cried my eyes out watching that.
Where are we going next? Statues?
You can head wherever you want.
I think so.
Let's talk about the statues. So as part of the 50th, they installed 50 golden statues. I assume it was 50. I haven't double-checked that. Across the parks, of various characters. There were checklists online, but I never really bothered to look into it and see who was where.
I think I saw a few people sort of doing the little hunt, but there were most of them I just sort of came across as I happened to notice them. There's some of them that were really quite difficult to find. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the second time I'd been in Magic Kingdom. I was walking back across from Adventureland into the hub, and I just saw loads of people like looking up at the Adventureland sign and waving at it because of the Magic Band Plus. And I just turned around and was like, "Oh, there's a Boo just hanging up on the sign."
I know, and Stitch was high up as well, kind of up on the purple wall.
Yeah,
breaking
Stitch
through it, and that was quite a fun one.
Oh, cool.
But the Magic Pan Plus hadn't been introduced while we were there, so we didn't get any of the interactive features, and I feel like it came quite late into the celebration for people to actually experience it.
Yeah, because these figurines were interactive to a point. Sorry, I feel like there's a bit of a delay with me and Tom. Not sure why. Definitely is. Yeah, these figurines were interactive as well. Well, they became interactive later on, as you say, with the Magic Band Plus, which as also is a new, not just for the 50th, but was released during the 50th anniversary. Now, from what I have seen, these statues just kind of basically played audio. Is that right?
Yeah, that's sort of what I was just saying. I'm not sure how well I'm sold on the whole Magic Band Plus interactivity part of them. From what I saw, like the statues, it was literally like some of them just made a little like sort of sparkle noise. I think some of them maybe spoke. And then apart from that, the only other thing is the lighting up for fireworks. So they seem to be this big thing that really don't do that much at the minute.
I have every hope that they will get better and Disney will lean into the interactivity a bit more. But I do think if they were selling the statues as being interactive for the period they were there compared to the period that the Magic Band Plus was available with them, it wasn't that long.
Mm-hmm. I know it would have taken a heck of a lot more, but I feel if they did something along the lines of the Pirates Adventure in Magic mm-hmm. Kingdom, if you guys ever played that in Adventureland, you could go around and activate certain things like cannons going off and things like that. If there was any kind of movement or,
yeah,
I don't know, visual things to activate, that would have been so much cooler. And I feel like they would have got so much more attention than just wave at it and play an audio clip.
I think the other thing with the statues is, so Paris also has a statue installment for its 30th, and it's just 30 of them in the same location. And I much prefer it to the statues because you can kind of like actually experience the whole thing together without having to like scavenger hunt around and maybe miss some. And they all move already, so they're almost their own kind of show in a way, and you don't need to buy anything extra to get the interactivity out of them.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I probably will be buying the Magic Band Plus when I next go out there anyway, just purely because of the new interactive game as such at Galaxy's Edge. I do want to play that.
Yes, forgot that was there actually. The bounty hunter sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's where they can kind of go with it, you know, that the bounty hunter, you know, they can introduce it into a sort of similar thing they had for the Epcot Kim Possible and Perry the Platypus sort of adventures.
Yeah. I feel like if they do need to bring more out for the Magic Band Plus that's more interactive and things to do with it, because again, apart from the bounty hunter game at Galaxy's Edge, and now that the statues, there's not much. Is there anything else that those actually interact with apart from
so they change colors during like fireworks and nighttime shows, but
again, that's kind of a thing that's always been there and always faded in and out. Like, I don't know if you remember years ago, they had the Mickey ears that lit up to the shows. And I thought that was it. That was going to be the thing that was going to stay. And that lasted a year or two. And you never saw them again. I've got a pair and I don't even know if they work anymore.
I mean, at least with those as well, like, you could see them lighting up while you're looking at the show. Like, who's looking down at the wrist while they're watching the fireworks to see if the band's lit up blue?
I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people with their heads down, probably looking into their phones anyway and not paying attention to the show. So they'll probably get to see it.
But in the defense of it being a wrist thing, I know like some concerts give out the bracelets, like Taylor always does it. And like when you see the stadium like full of people with the same color, like it's quite fun, but Main Street doesn't give that same effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think because it's not, A, not everyone's got them, obviously, it's quite few and far between. And I don't think they're synchronized together. So I don't think they're all lighting up the same thing at the same time. I might be wrong on that, but I have a feeling that's the case. And then obviously at a concert as well, like most people have sort of got their hands up and waving around anyway.
The concert venue, there's the most of the stadium or wherever it's playing is dark. There's literally the stage lit up, so you can see everything so much easier, where, especially now that they have the projections down Main Street, everywhere's lit up.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a standout point.
I feel like Fantasmic's the only place where you're really going to notice it.
See, that would be good if they lit up as you was doing the Mexican wave. And they changed colour as the wave went down.
They can light up orange when Maleficent's on fire.
Oh, Tom, no, too soon. Okay, let's move on from that.
On that note.
Yeah, speaking of, again, coming back to things that appeared during the 50th, not specifically for the 50th itself, but are going to stay past the celebrations as well. There's been quite a few things open since the last time I was there, which was just before all of the pandemic and everything. So since then, it's pretty much been straight into the 50th. And there's a lot of things that I don't even know if I'm going to have time to do everything when I go back. We have a few listed down here as well. And there's from food to attractions and shows. And we're heading to the food section first. I don't know if you guys have been to any of these locations or not.
No, they didn't come up on our last trip.
Okay. I think Space 220, or is it, I don't even know how they say if it's 220, 220, or whatever. I think it had just opened, but I'd heard very mixed things about the experience as a whole, the cost of it. You know, trying to actually get a spot in there. Steakhouse 71 had kind of slipped by me, because I think I would have enjoyed going there if I had the chance, but just kind of passed me by.
Steakhouse 71 took over the wave, is that correct?
That sounds right.
Contemporary, yeah. And I'm not going to lie, that made me really sad when they announced that, because the Wave had the cheapest all-you-can-eat breakfast on property. I swear it was something ridiculous, like $23 or something. And when they said that, I'm like, no, they're taking out my favourite breakfast spot.
To be fair, that's still quite expensive. Obviously, it's all-you-can-eat, but for breakfast, I feel like that's still quite expensive.
In comparison to some places, because I feel like other than that, the cheapest breakfast sit down, even for like a buffet elsewhere, is 30 plus.
I've never been a big breakfast guy anyway.
I just know it was the cheapest on property, and that's where I went a few times. So
made the most of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, so Steakhouse 71, obviously in reference to the year Walt Disney World opened in 1971. Let me just pull up a menu, because I don't think I've actually looked at what they offer or prices or anything like that.
Steak.
I mean, I should hope so. If they don't offer steak, then whoever named the place is getting fired. Only $71. That's not too bad for Disney for a steak. If they offer steak.
It's 50-50 at least.
50-50. Okay, so I've got the menu up here. I'm going to bypass everything and just go straight to dinner to actually see. Okay, so straight away, the thing, first thing that catches my eye on the appetizers, they do a French onion soup, and I do love a French onion soup.
Nice.
But yes, they do indeed have steak. Honestly, it's not that badly priced. A 10-ounce New York strip for $36.
Okay.
Six-ounce filet mignon for $38. Top sirloin for $30. Actually, not too bad at all. And that includes one side and a sauce as well. And the sides, they offer garlic mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, seared broccolini, charred asparagus, au gratin potatoes, cream spinach, and a red wine glazed mushrooms. And then the sauces, you have béarnaise, wild mushroom, chimichurri, signature Steakhouse 71 sauce, which I have no idea what that is because it doesn't say. They have a range of sauces to choose from. So they even have a flight of seven sauces. So if you don't want to choose just one,
that's unnecessary.
For every bite, you can have a different sauce.
And actually, that's interesting as well, sort of going off the prices, because we'd been looking at the Fantasmic dinner packages earlier today for this trip coming up. And Mama Melrose, you can get a steak in there. And I'm pretty sure that's a steak and with mac and cheese. And I'm pretty sure that was $35 at Mama Melrose.
Oh, wow. So it's not too far off then, to be completely fair. I know it's outside of the parks, but it's within walking distance to Magic Kingdom, so...
And it's and in a deluxe resort. Hotels, yeah.
Hmm. I head back to Space 220. If you don't know about that, it's a space-themed restaurant, believe it or not. I think the pull to this is it has basically a show before you get inside of the restaurant itself. You go in a shuttle and get blasted off to space, and you can watch yourself leave Earth and get blasted into space. And once you get inside the restaurant itself, the windows that are there, they're huge windows. I don't know if they're floor to ceiling, but they're huge. And you can look out into space and see the goings on in space. The things floating around and things happening like that. Again,
it's basically,
as Tom said,
the Galactic Star Cruiser that people want to do.
Yeah, if you don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to go there for the Galactic Star Cruiser for two nights, just go have dinner, and I'm sure you get a
just
similar
spend a couple
experience
hundred
without the Star Wars themes. Yeah, but yeah, I've not heard amazing things about it. The food itself looks a little bit strange on some dishes, and I'm not too sure if I would pay the prices to go and sit down for a meal there, but you can actually go walk in at the bar to get bar snacks and still see everything that's actually happening there. So I think if it was me, I would try to do that. For one, you're not having to spend out on a meal. You can probably just get a starter or something and sit at the bar, grab a drink. I'm sure the drink prices are extortionate as well, but... At least you don't have to spend the full prices for a full sit-down meal. I think
because
that's
I think
the way...
the problem with it being in Epcot is there's so many good food options that you wouldn't normally get, whereas the food here, I haven't heard fantastic things about. So, like, being able to experience it without having to...
The amount of places I've wanted to eat in Epcot that have been like long-standing places, and I've still not got around to because there's just so many options. It's just didn't seem like it was really needed.
Yeah, well, we'll have to note some down and see what we can get done in September.
One thing we're definitely going to be doing in September, though, is getting on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Definitely, multiple times.
When did that open now? So,
it was open for annual pass holders in May. but I don't know when it officially...
It was ready for the start of the 50th concert.
I would say no, because we didn't get a chance to ride it when we were there.
Yeah, I've got down here that opened 27th of May last year.
Yeah, and we left on like the 22nd or something.
Ooh, harsh.
It was really rough.
Again, yeah, there's been a few different attractions opening. But I feel like it's more aimed at Epcot because there's, again, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opened
which
there.
Which I guess Epcot was having its 40th anniversary, so deserved a little something.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of hope from people that Tron would open at some point within that 50th, but 27 years later.
See, I feel it was meant to open at some point last year, but I do think to myself, did they just keep that until after the 50th to draw people back afterwards?
And like, how much was construction delayed by COVID?
Probably a lot. I think it's always so weird with Disney's new openings. Like, I mean, how long has the middle of Epcot just been a construction site? It just does seem to take them a long time to get things together. Almost unnecessarily when you see the likes of other theme parks getting things, you know, started and opened in the same span of time.
Some absolute shade there.
Now, moving on from attractions, we've already spoke about a little bit about Enchantment. The other show that we didn't speak about is everyone's favourite. Yeah, Kite Tales.
I loved Kite Tales for all the wrong reasons. It opened not long before we went out, so a lot of the memes were on top form when we arrived. So, like, I saw it twice, and both times I sat right next to where the kites crashed down because it was incredible. It was my brother's exact wording was he couldn't believe Disney let something so unpolished looking out into the world.
It was really, really strange. Like, I would have assumed they would have built a faux wall or something just to block that segment off. But then again, there were so many times when the kites went out and failed while they was out there as well and just got dragged along the water.
I just remembered that when we watched the Lion King one, Puma never went up and they just carried on playing Hakuna Matata whilst he was just being dragged around the water. I loved it. I bought a pin just to remember it.
The actual glee on your face right now is unreal.
Some of them just looked bad as well. So, like, some of the characters looked like themselves. But I remember in the Jungle Book one, the Baloo, because he was so tall, they couldn't get him to, like, stand. So he just floated round face to the water. So bad, but so good.
It was weird. Like, it was such a short show as well. Like, it's barely 5 minutes. And it was odd. There seemed no rhyme or reason to it. And the fact that it went there in place of another very short-lived show in Rivers of Light. Mm. Like, it's that whole area.
Controversially,
just seemed so
cursed. I preferred Kite Tales to Rivers of Light.
It's like to see things fail.
I'm excited what they bring there next.
Okay, let's wrap this. Go ahead and wrap this up because we are running a little bit short on time now. In closing, do you guys think there was enough going on at the 50th?
when I look back on it like this, it feels like a lot more than I actually remember when I was there. And especially because I remember watching like a lot of vlogs of Disneyland's 60th and that feeling like such a celebration. And I just didn't quite get that vibe. Like when the cavalcades went by, that's when I felt it. But like, that was like for what, 10 seconds a day? So.
Yeah, I think like you said, sort of when we've sort of ran through this list, it seems like, oh, you know, they had all these things, but then so many of them are just such background things, or, you know, things you just don't really, you weren't really coming across or noticing that much. That it just, it did feel a little bit kind of empty.
Yeah, I feel like for me, not actually being there in person and just seeing things online and videos and things like that, it did seem like there was only one or two big things,
yeah,
that actually appeared, and the rest of the things, especially what the restaurants and attractions, you don't see them as a 50th edition because they're going to be there forever now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only the main things you see, like with the shows and the visuals of the park that changed. And I don't know. To me, from my side, it seems like they could have been more done. But then a lot of people that I actually visited said they really enjoyed it.
I'm so grateful I got to go during the 50th and experience it. But I can't help but feel jealous of what like other parks have been getting.
Yeah, it was a big point of mine to make sure I went during that time. I think the things like the shows, while by no means they were bad, like Harmonious was great, but the fact of the barges just not looking fantastic in the day was a bit sore, and Enchantment was all right, but then when people are clamoring to get old shows back in place of them, when really, you know, they should be these huge mega shows, yeah, that people are like, oh, I can't believe that's now finished, slightly missed the mark.
Okay, and before we head off, I was going to ask you guys, because you guys actually experienced it, what did you enjoy the most out of everything that we've spoken about?
Without saying Kite Tales, the song that they released that was played when the cavalcades went by, Magic is Calling, it was in my Spotify top played songs of last year because it was so nice. So actually, something we haven't talked about, maybe my favourite thing from the 50th.
I think if I'm allowed to say Guardians, I'd say that, but if that's not counting because it's, you know, kind of just a permanent thing now. I really enjoyed Harmonious. It was a good show. It was just a shame that when it wasn't Harmonious, it was a bit of an eyesore.
And again, I never actually got around to it because I was holding out to watch it in person. But now that we've spoken about it and coming to the end of the episode, once we finish, I might actually go and watch the shows so I can see what you guys are actually talking about and how it was.
Got some catching up to do.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. I don't want to go too long because we could chat about this. I think we could chat about this for a lot longer than we have time for. But this is a quick overview of everything that went off. Well, not everything, but a fair few things that actually went off during the Walt Disney World 50th celebrations. All right, so I just want to thank you guys for joining in on this episode, and thank Tom and Jenny for joining us as well. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you have, be sure to go ahead and follow us on socials. We are on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter now at Ears to the Parks. You can also get in touch with us over at Instagram on socials, or you can contact us at contact@earstotheparks.com. And again, if you have enjoyed this, give us a rating on your chosen listening streaming service that you're listening on. I think that made sense. Okay.
Well articulated.
Thank you. I practiced that. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back in the very near future. So we will catch you in the next one.